see it in the movies and the paper and the TV news. Somebody's army is always on the move. There's gonna be a battle, the lines have been drawn. They got guns and tanks and planes. The wells are gone dry and the water is bad, and the air is acid rain. There's war after war and rumors of war from the east. There's a rumbling in the ground and they're talking about the beast. Good mother's cry calls, the rivers run high with the blood of too many sons. Some people say peace is on the way, but the worst is still to come. 'Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book. Cities and the missiles stand ready for flight. A pale horse rides like the wind across the night. And that rumbling in the desert like thunder getting closer, are the trumpets getting ready to blow. There's gonna be a shout that will wake the dead. We better be ready to go. 'Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book.
It's going by the book? Why does it have to go by the book? Welcome. My name is Thomas Gambill. I'm the host of this program, Watchmen for Jesus program. My question is, why does it have to go by the Bible? Why does it have to go by the book? Why? Why can't they just change it if they're in control? Because they're not in control. That's why. They only control this world, and that's all. They don't control the universe. They control events, even. They're only controlling events as they're allowed to, on a much higher level. I don't look at this small level. The small level is going to go away. I don't read the stupid Book of Enoch, because the Book of Enoch, for example, is not written by Enoch. Even say it was written in the first or second century. They tell you Enoch was long before that, taken away before the flood. That was a long time ago. So if Enoch was taken at 365 years old, before the flood even was, how did he write it in the first century, for goodness sakes alive? And in the Book of Jude, for example, it says a prophecy of Enoch, and no word does it say a book at all. Check it out. Go. It's a prophecy. Prophecy is carried down by words, by tradition, around the campfire, if you will. Noah didn't take plastic wrap and wrap up the Book of Noah, four generations old, and say, make sure you pass this on for the next 2,000, 3,000 years. That's ridiculous. The Book of Enoch was written as inspired by fallen angels, demons. That's correct. That is absolutely correct. To be a testimony to the fallen angels, not to God. The Book of Enoch will take priority in due time, falsely. But once the Bible has been completely discredited in the disclosure and everyone is falling away, then the Book of Enoch will take on a different new meaning. but that meaning will be false and will lead many astray. Oh, the book of Enoch will be a horse taken in the lead, but only because of false revelations and disclosure that's yet to come. The Bible predicts this as the falling away, as a man of sin is revealed to take over the world. It's yet to come. That means they have to discredit the Bible. The King James Bible has to be discredited. Only way that's going to happen is by the generations existing today to not follow the precepts of the Bible, the King James Bible. What does that mean exactly? Well, same-sex marriage throughout the United States, bringing in Chrislam, a corrupted version of religion. I'm going to talk about that some today. Chrislam sneaking up on people. Rick Warren, Germany, America, Britain, Chrislam. That will encompass the combination of Christianity and Islam. It's all being worked out. Billy Graham set it up. He's part of it. All these Freemasons. Oh, he's a Freemason too. All of them are working together to bring in the Luciferian agenda. Even in Oklahoma, they have a statue at the belt buckle of the so-called Bible Belt. In Oklahoma, they have that statue of the Baphomet, Satan. Right hand, left hand up, left hand down, or whatever. One up, one down, as above, so below. Right hand up, left hand down. That's as above, so below. You see? All that's part of it. You see? Family, all this is connected and joined together. You see? It's all connected together. And that's what I'm trying to do in this broadcast, is show you how it's connected. Do your own research. Your own research. What you hear outside of your own research are clues. Then you go in and try to show they're wrong or, wow, they're right or whatever. Your own work. Meaning, do your own research. If I hear something on a radio or read something that's like, wow, I didn't know that, I'm not going to go to the individual first. I'm going to go on my own and say, I'm going to find out for myself. If I can't find it anywhere, I'm going to say, well, I can't find it anywhere. Then I'm going to go to the person on Facebook or YouTube or wherever and say, okay, I can't find it. Can you show me your references? Then I'm going to ask for the references because I couldn't find it myself. That's how I do it anyway. And I do more than three references. One will not get it, man. That's not worthy. Three or more, preferably more than three references unrelated to find this one research project, you see. And now, if we got three references or more, now I got something going on here, you see. Requires deeper research. Uh-huh. That's how it does. Because we live in an age of deception, not an age of truth, by no stretch of the imagination. It's an age of deception. Because you're in a supernatural war, whether you like it or not, believe it or not, it doesn't matter what you believe. Those that control this world and this material world, they do worship Lucifer, whether you believe in him or not or whatever. Talk about it on the coffee shops. I just don't believe in that Lucifer thing. That don't matter. They control seven areas of your life, and they do believe in Lucifer. They control the education worldwide, politics, religion, philosophy, the harmony of beauty and the arts, Hollywood, entertainment, whatever, science, and finance. I got them all, didn't I? Call the Ashram Rays, Ashram. And they have one specialist for each of those seven areas that has six underneath them that form committees and councils to set up objectives. And one of those objectives is depopulation of the earth. I've been talking about that now for the past week. And that's a major, major objective, is to depopulate the earth, not increase the population or even maintain it, for that matter, but to decrease it. What does decrease population mean? That means to kill people. I'm not really good at being politically correct. Depopulation means to kill. Even Zbigniew Brzezinski confirms that with his own mouth. They're not afraid to tell you because their arrogance and stupidity. Stupid because they follow Lucifer, who's already lost this war anyway. He lost at the cross of Calvary. My point here, one of the points anyway, is to let you know that this is not a religious show. This is not about spiritualism or religion or whatever. This is reality of what you're dealing with today that encompasses all those areas of our lives. Everything from immigration increase to disease, all this is part of their agenda. Discussed at the Bilderberg Club of Rome, Trilateral Commission, UN meetings, Council of Foreign Relations, the Royal Institute of National Affairs, and the Gorbachev Foundation. All of them evil to the core. Evil beyond your imagination. Evil than any felon you can find in prison today, literally. And they run loose in your political realm, in your scientific realm, in your schools at the highest level. Behind the scene, they conduct rituals to worship Lucifer. You understand this? On the outside, they pretend to be normal people, but they're not. Billy Bob Clinton, Buchanan, all the rest of them worship Lucifer. Literally, wearing the robes and looking like they come out of a Halloween costume, but they do it for real. Man, these people are so evil, you can't imagine. Bush is part of it. The entire family, Queen Elizabeth II, the whole doggone royal bloodline family of Europe, America, Africa, it don't matter where, Scandinavia, China, Russia, every country has a royal family. I can actually name them. Matter of fact, you can find other researchers, John Coleman, they have to tell you what they're doing before they do it. Former MI5, MI6, and you had Springmeier before he turned against the King James Bible. He turned on him. He turned on us. But he still gives you good information about Illuminati. Rob Skiba talks about the Nephilim, but he also turned. He's anti-King James. You know, all these guys, anti-King James, but they tell you the truth to pull you in, then they anti-King James you. King James Bible is the only true word of God in the face of the planet with evidence. And when you pull up the evidence for them, they run every single time. But they do tell you 80-90% truth for the hook to bring you in. So you eat the chicken, spit out the bones. Very simple. Family, I'm not going to back down under no circumstances. I'm not politically correct. I don't belong to nobody but Jesus. That's it. Non-negotiable. And I'm ready to die for him if I have to. Does that sound a little bit obsessed? Well, good, because it is. And I like it that way. I'm going to preach the gospel for as long as I can. And the truth. If I'm wrong somewhere, show me. No problem. But there's many watchmen out there. And there's more coming. They'll never stop the truth. But here's the rub to that. Is they're releasing the truth also? 80%, 9% truth. But then they take you on a zig pattern, off another direction. Hook you with the truth, then they zig you out of the reality with some twist. They have to tell you what they're going to do before they do it. God requires his prophets to be up front, sort of speaking, informally. He requires his prophets, and that's in the Bible, because the Bible's full of prophecy. The Bible's being taught as a book of history. It is not a book of history only. It's a book of where we came from. Well, that's history. It's a book of how it changed. That's Jesus. As a book of who's God incarnated human flesh. Absolutely. As a book of Here's what's going to happen with 100% accuracy of what's going to happen. That's future. I'd kind of want to know that, wouldn't you? That's what I like to know, what's going to happen in the future. But it doesn't tell you any time frame. Nobody can tell you a time frame. They all claim they can, they can't. Never do. Oh, they come up with four blood moons, which is nonsense. They come up with September 2017, this, that, and the other is going to happen. That might be an Illuminati plan. But see, it's all subject to God, subject to His direction and allowance, not theirs. So they have to gain an upper hand. How do they do that? How did Satan gain upper hand in the Garden of Eden? How did he do it? He found the link through Eve. Eve to Adam brought sin into the world. Both of them failed. However, that's part of free will. Is you can make it, you have to make a decision. The free will given to the angels in heaven, that also failed. And so did they. That's kind of what happened. And what happened in the Garden of Eden? They got kicked out. That's why they had to work for their food. And Eve had to give labor in pain, no longer to give labor, give birth in ease. But when man started to die, blood ran through the veins when they got kicked out of Garden of Eden. She had to bear children in pain. And Adam had to work the fields for his food. No longer were they living in a paradise situation because sin reigned at that time, turned the world over to Lucifer at that point. In anticipation of the coming Messiah, for generations upon generations, were sacrifices of animals by blood. Sacrifices. When Jesus Christ came to this world, died on the cross, rose again, no longer was sacrifices allowed. Because Jesus Christ fulfilled that sacrifice. He fulfilled the law, but didn't change it. He fulfilled it. He became the sacrifice that was anticipated throughout the Old Testament up to his birth, life, death, and resurrection. He fulfilled that sacrifice through him and him alone, nobody else. Are you saved? No Mary, no rosary beads or whatever. No Mohammed, no Buddha, no Timbuktu, Kalamazoo, whoever. Don't make a difference. Through Jesus Christ is the only way. He's the only one that hears your prayers. He's the only one that can come before God that is sinless, that God will listen to. Because all sin, men come from sin. Why? From Adam, passed to Noah. Noah to all generations after. Through one man. Man was condemned through one man, God-man. The world was saved, but only through repentance of sins, acknowledgement of the sins we commit. Holy Spirit reminds you, it's called conviction. This is what's going on today. So Satan has set up a system to keep you from knowing that. And we go back to seven Ashram rays. There you go. Keeping you distracted. And everything to keep you away from that truth until you die. And then it's too late. Whether it's a, well, quasi early death, or whether you live to an old age and just die. Or whether you have a car accident at 16 years old, or 21, or 23, or 40, something. I'm going to talk about that today. That early death. Just going to church and doing good deeds doesn't do a thing. Going to church, doing good deeds, getting baptized comes after you've accepted Jesus as your Savior. Then the fruits of that acceptance comes out, or should. Then comes baptism to show outward show. Then comes fruits of the Spirit and all that, you see. After you've been born again of the Spirit inside, baptized by the Holy Ghost. And truly acknowledge the sins. When you acknowledge those sins to God, truly do. He says, aha, you know now. Okay. And Holy Spirit will come dwell inside you and clean you out. And when you commit another sin, which, you know, we will, you feel guilty, don't you? You feel guilty? I can't do that anymore. Why? Well, I can't I can't give those contracts away like we've been doing. What are you talking about? Look at the money you're going to make. Like, I can't sell that no more. Man, what are you talking? You've been doing it all along. I can't do it anymore. Because why? You've been convicted in your spirit. Now, you just may lose a job now. You're certainly going to lose friends. That's a guarantee, man. And they're going to think you're crazy because you've changed. That is actually a compliment. Because the Holy Spirit dwells inside you. Everything physical in this world, you can't name one thing. Everything physical in this world, everything in this world dies, rusts, rots, consumed. It just goes away or forgotten about. It's just done. Everything. So evolution is impossible. Really, there's not. They make up big names that use all 26 letters of the alphabet, and that, well, I guess it's true because it's a big name. This must be true, and this is a Harvard professor that says it, so it must be true. Wrong, quite the opposite. It's got to be a lie if it comes from a Harvard professor or Yale professor, because they're humanist. They have an agenda, and they're liars. And this is proven beyond a shadow of a doubt by their own words of the humanist. Confirms that all schools have a resident Marxist or humanist scholar board make sure that the curriculum follows the humanist manifesto. How much specific can I get? All public schools are schools of humanism. 1930, Charles Francis Potter, unquote. So that means they're biased. That means they're ran by Freemasons at the highest level. And Eastern Stars are school teachers. The other school teachers, if not, are scared for their job, so they just do their job and teach and go home and do their job, teach and go home, and that's how they do to live because they're afraid of losing their job. That's how it runs today. It always has run that way, actually. You see how Satan controls it to keep you all busy? I think that's important. Dedicate the broadcast. Let's see where we head to today. And I'm going to talk about current events in a way, but depopulation, how it all applies, you know, how it all works together. And don't take my word for it at all. I don't want you to. I want you to challenge what I say. Go for it, man. Go for it. Just don't say, well, he's full of mud and this guy's crazy on the radio. Well, okay, prove it. And whether I find out about it or not, don't care. It's whether about you. You see, if I am wrong, heck, next day I'll admit it. You gotta show me the evidence, though. But I'll admit it in a heartbeat. I don't know at all by no stretch of imagination. But I do extreme, obsessive, I love it, research. And I have no bias at all. I don't follow, if it's against America, then so be it. That's the way it is. If it's against the Baptist, so it is. So they got a wrong doctrine. I'll bring it up. I don't care. I follow Jesus only. That's it. The King James Bible, with evidence, is the only true word you're going to get. And nobody can prove otherwise for now until the falling away. But they sure are chipping away at it. They're attacking it using the book of Enoch. They're attacking the Bible. You're saying that Paul, who wrote 12, arguably 13 books of the Bible, got his information from the Septuagint, which is a big-time lie. They say the Septuagint was written in 285 B.C. That's a lie that the Vatican is passing on to millions of their parishioners. Septuagint is not 285 B.C. It's taught in some of the colleges, a lot of the colleges, all the colleges, actually. And that's not true. It's completely false. So that way they can show you from their logic that since the Septuagint was in 285 B.C., that means Paul copied the Septuagint. You see how they're doing it? Septuagint was about in the 4th century. Yeah, 400 years or more after Paul. Yeah, buddy. They sneaky bunch of folks, they are. Lord, today we come before you in prayer in the name of your Son, Jesus. Father, we thank you for the opportunity, for your love for us, that, Father, your Son did die on a cross for our sins and, Lord, was rose again. That he loved that, Lord, you loved the world so much you gave your only begotten Son, that who believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life. And Father, we know that we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And Father, we know that the wage of sin is death, and that the gift of you is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And we do know that you have commanded your love toward us, and that, Father, that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. And we do know that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Father, for this we thank you. Father, we need help. We need divine appointments. We need wisdom from the Holy Spirit to touch us, to give us that wisdom, discernment, give us that humility, the opportunities that we can not only learn ourselves, but to pass the word on to others as watchmen. Father, we pray for our brethren, for their family members. We pray for Linda's mother today and this week for her recovery. We pray for others, Father, in the past that we've prayed for, Lord, for their healing. For them to use tragedies in their life and sickness in their life for your glory, to bring out the love of Jesus, to bring families together in one way or another, that, Father, in your way, that will lead others to accept Jesus as Savior. Father, we pray for our leaders today, for those that are on this agenda, Lord, that you'll touch their hearts, convict them of their efforts, that, Father, they'll become whistleblowers. That, Lord, they'll start telling the truth and to separate themselves from this secret society agenda, from Illuminati agenda, and to shut down, Father, their technologies and to cause them confusion. And destroy their computer systems and destroy their drone systems and, Father, the render null and void the effects of these psychotropic drugs that's been shoved into people. Father, to protect our veterans as they return, because, Father, we know they've been targeted specifically. The voice-to-skull technologies, the psychotropic drugs that's being put in their bodies. Lord, we only by supernatural means can this be averted, be rendered neutral. Father, we pray for children being abducted, sought after for sacrifice to Lucifer, that, Lord, that you'll shut them down and allow children to escape. So allow some way, Father, that you'll comfort the families of those missing children. Father, to use tragedies that's happening today for your glory, to bring others to Jesus. And, Father, to bring that anointing to those, Lord, that's preaching the true gospel. Only you know who's going to be ones. And, Father, we call upon you to touch the churches today, to wake them up, to bring in those tribulations, the trials that they've got, to cause them to turn away from these corrupted Bibles and bring in the King James, to start preaching the true word of God at the pulpits. And prepare us, Father, for those end times. And to grant us that wisdom, discernment, Lord, that we can use to talk to others about your love and about your sacrifice and about the future of the salvation of our souls. It's why, Father, we pray in this manner. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Family, one of the biggest failures of mankind is accepting religion. We've been so brainwashed into religion with a name that takes us away from the truth about Jesus. It's not about religion. It's about Jesus. Jesus is not about religion at all. If you say, well, it's about religion, what are you talking about? Then you got to name which religion it is. As you name them, you just click them right off. Even Protestantism. Protestantism was created by the Vatican using a Jesuit by the name of Martin Luther and John Calvin. Calvinism, named after a man, why? His own Bible, his own words? No. Corrupted words, corrupted doctrine. Martin Luther, Lutheran, what? And the same thing. His idea or his so-called Christianity was wrong. They formed Protestantism to justify the Reformation. Notice that true men of God, Erasmus, Wycliffe, and Tyndale, they died. They were killed. They were murdered by the Vatican. But Martin Luther was exiled. What's exile? It's a forced vacation. He was never killed. What they did to Erasmus and Wycliffe and Tyndale for translating the Bible from Latin to English was horrific. Now, the translations were not complete, but they were translations nonetheless to English so people could read it. Woo, that really ticked off the Vatican. So much so, Erasmus was jailed and killed, and Wycliffe, Tyndale, they died horrible deaths. But you notice that Martin Luther didn't? And he was the one who started the Reformation. Don't you find that kind of odd? He also tried to pull in the Jews. Jews rejected him. Then he changed over and went after him like a pit bull dog. That's a little odd, too, for a Christian, isn't it? Yeah, he wasn't. He was a Jesuit. So was John Calvin, that murderer. Family, got to call it for what it is. The Vatican works both sides of every game. They never play fair. The Jesuits are murderers. They have Jesuits in military, Jesuits in science, Jesuits in the education. They got Jesuits everywhere. And they're trained to kill, murder, lie, cheat, poison. And that comes in their own blood oath. It's there. Look it up right now while I'm talking. They train them to be First Baptist ministers, Presbyterian, Methodist, whatever. They train them to be generals, evangelists, to give you just enough truth and then deviate or set up a war. Now, I got a bunch of listeners today, and I bet you think I'm crazy, don't you? Well, I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do. Now, some of you that's my regular listeners, you've heard me go on and on about this. So bear with me when I bring up new information, okay? Bring up old information, because I'm trying to bring the new people, old people, new people in to show them what I'm talking about. So sometimes I will repeat certain segments, certain video clips or whatever, or audio clips and so forth to make a point. And here's one coming now. My claim about the Jesuits. You don't believe me? No problem. Would you take the word of Abraham Lincoln? Is that okay? Okay, let's see what he has to say. Abraham Lincoln said, and I quote, "This war," talking about the Civil War, where they caused us to fight each other, where the French worked with the South, and the Germans, the massacred people, worked with the North? Yeah. Kind of a prelude to the UN, you might say. Uh-huh, that's true. Abraham Lincoln said, and I quote, "This war would never have been possible without the sinister influence of the Jesuits." Yeah, that's pretty clear, isn't it? Continuing, "We owe it to popery that we now see our land reddened with the blood of her noblest sons. though there were great differences of opinion between the South and the North on the question of slavery. Neither Jeff Davis nor any one of the leading men of the Confederacy would have dared to attack the North had they not relied on the promise of the Jesuits that under the mask of democracy, the money, the arms of the Roman Catholics, even the arms of France, were at their disposal if they would attack us. Unquote. Charles Chickney, in 50 Years in the Church of Rome, 1885, on page 388. Now, that was Civil War, where they caused us to fight and kill each other. That was dumb. But they did it, and the Civil War was set up in the 1700s. Actually, the Civil War was set up to take place around the 1600s. And the later, after 1860s, Lincoln set up the, was supposed to set up, he went against them, by the way, and that's why he got assassinated by the Jesuits. He was to set up the plan then next for the Civil Rights Movement in 1960, a century year later. That's correct. Found they planned way ahead. Now, that being said, the Council of Foreign Relations is simply a modern-day version of what I've just read about. The Jesuits controlled both sides of the war. Neither Jeff Davis nor any one of the leading men of the Confederacy would have dared to attack the North had they not relied on a promise of the Jesuits that under the mask of democracy, the money, arms of the Roman Catholics, even the arms of France, were at their disposal if they would attack us. That was a forerunner of the Council of Foreign Relations. Huh? How about that? Now, in World War II, check this out. I will quote you an article, part of an article of the Chicago Tribune, 1950, and it says, I quote, "The members of the Council on Foreign Relations are persons of much more than average influence in their community. They have used a prestige that their wealth, their social position, and their education has given them to lead their country toward bankruptcy and military debacle. They should look at their hands. There's blood on them, the dried blood of the last war." It's World War II, unquote. The Chicago Tribune in 1950. As a matter of fact, a very similar quote during the Korean War, which was a Jesuit-ran war, determination of wars are already predetermined. Revolutionary War was predetermined. War of 1812 was predetermined. The Civil War was predetermined. Sinking of the Maine was a false flag, as confirmed. World War I was predetermined. World War II was predetermined. We brought the Nazis over here, 10,000 of them, while everybody looked at the fake Nuremberg trial. Now, let's go to Korea. Was predetermined. Is a UN action. A General Lin Pao, who was a general in the Red Chinese Army that fought against the United States in Korea, he said, and I quote, "I would never have made the attack and risked my men if I had not been assured that Washington would restrain General MacArthur from taking adequate retaliatory measures against my lines of supply and communication," unquote. Sound a little familiar? Well, let's see what General MacArthur has to say about that. I will quote General Douglas MacArthur. "The possibility of Red China's entry into the Korean War had existed ever since the order from Washington issued to the 7th Fleet in June to neutralize Formosa," that was Taiwan, where Chiang Kai-shek, a free China man exiled from communist China, was living at that time, issued the 7th Fleet in June to neutralize or blockade Formosa, which in effect protected Red China mainland from attack by Chiang Kai-shek's forces of 500,000 men. Whoo! 500,000. Of really ticked off free Chinese that wanted their land back, they would have defeated Red China in 1950 and been a whole different ballgame. But the Jesuits would have seen to it that that would not happen by ordering Washington, who's a Jesuit-run government, ours was, to make sure Chiang Kai-shek was blockaded. So he would have had to have fought through the Seventh Fleet to get to Red China. But he didn't, because he's blockaded by us to make sure communist China remained communist. And you know, he even didn't stop. He said, and I quote, General Douglas MacArthur in his memoirs, quote, "The Taiwanese government of Chiang Kai-shek, who less than a week after the North Koreans had crossed the 38th parallel, offered the State Department an advance force of 33,000 troops, that's a division plus, that could be embarked for Korea within 5 days after the offer was accepted. The suggestion was politely refused. Formosa was at that time a member of the United Nations and therefore could have been represented in the United Nations force. But the American government would not tolerate such a move," unquote. Therefore, you had the frozen chosen and the stalemate planned of our troops in Korea. Allowed the rout of, was it 25th and 26th Infantry? When 9 divisions of Chinese swooped in on them. They said, "The heck with this, we're out of here." Marines were surrounded, and you had what's called the frozen chosen. That's what happened. Well, there you go. Any questions on that? That's how the Jesuits do things. Did you know the Jesuits also controlled who would win the war in 1904 between Japan and Russia? Did you know that during the war, Civil War, that Lincoln was working with the Romanov family? Yeah, buddy. The Tsar of Russia then was against the Jesuits. The Rothschilds. Did y'all know that? And they had sworn a blood vengeance against the Romanov family in the 1860s. And that was fulfilled in 1917. All this is part of their plan. Now, how are they going to defeat the United States? Ooh, they've been working on that since 1950. And one of those ways is immigration. Now, white folk immigrated into the United States, the North American continent in 1492. That was the first setup for a multicultural nation that was planned in 1425. Who was here first? The Indians were. And the Mexicans. That was the indigenous population. They were here first, white folk. And then my fault, man. They were here long before, and they're in the bloodline of Shem. Long story short. Now, the Illuminati had planned as far back as 1400 to integrate all cultures in the United States. In the North American continent. Starting off with white folk. Why? White folk are getting out of Europe. Why would white folk want to leave Europe to an unknown land? Well, because they're being murdered by the Vatican. That's why. Because in 1200 A.D. to 1400 A.D., the Vatican murdered millions of people. 50 to 68 million people were murdered between 1200 and 1800 A.D. So take half of that. Around 1400, you had millions murdered. And their religion, their worship of God in whatever way they were going to, was thwarted. controlled by the Vatican that they didn't trust. So what are you going to do? Man, we're moving. Here comes the Mayflower. Choo, choo, choo. Don't they do that in Mexico to get the Mexicans to move in here too? They murder them in disco clubs. They take away their white slavery and all this. They do that, slavery. Murder down there in Mexico. Man, we're getting out of here. We're going to the United States. Open it up. Who came after the white folk did in the 1400s? Well, 1600s, they brought in black slaves to handle the tobacco, later to be used to kill with cancer, thanks to the Reynolds family. Y'all getting the point here now? Come on, keep up with me. It's all planned. They're all connected. So around 1600s, you had slavery in the so-called Bible Belt. And then by 1711, look this up while I'm talking. Willie Lynch was brought in by the Rothschilds. German, actually. Bauer. B-A-U-E-R. Rothschild. They changed their name to a Jewish flavor. They brought in Willie Lynch, Lynchburg. Hey, going to lynch that boy. In Lynchburg, Virginia. That's where they get the name from. Willie Lynch. He wrote a letter. I'm not going to go over the letter right now. But it's how to, he taught the slave owners how to build a better slave. The methodology was horrific. You think Hitler was bad? You ought to be in the South when Willie Lynch started teaching these slave owners how to handle black people. Absolutely horrific. See, with white people now, we got a lot of repenting to do. And the black people got a lot of forgiving to do. Those who know that their bloodline, Freemasons that were, or otherwise, were slave owners, you have to repent for your family's sin of owning another human being and beating and killing and murdering. I know that's not popular, but it's the truth. Long before Hitler was slavery in America. And the whites were slaves too. Yeah, buddy. Some of them didn't even know it. You're slaves today and you don't know it through the Federal Reserve System. Surprise, surprise, surprise. Set up by Mandel House and Woodrow Wilson. I got the quotes, man. You want to challenge me on that? Go ahead. It comes from Wilson himself and Mandel House from his own diary. So, you had the white folk first getting the dickens out of the Europe because they're being murdered by the Vatican. That was the reason to get out of there. And then you brought in the blacks through slavery, set up by the Rothschilds. Then come in all the other cultures to make this country a multi-cultural land for another big agenda. Bringing people together, but not in a benevolent manner. Chinese started coming into California for the American dream. Bringing all the cultures together after God separated them at the Tower of Babel. Bingo! Immigration has always been the plan of Satan to bring people together. And to make them come together, first you got to cause division. So they get tired of having division and fighting, and then they want to come together. I have this documented to show you. What I'm telling you is the truth. Brock Chisholm, 1948 to 1953, was director of the World Health Organization, WHO. Was that what it was? Wait a minute. And the attack on the United States began in 1945. They wanted to use us for World War I, World War II. Then after that's over, it's now time to take down the United States. And that began really in 1950. They knew it was going to take at least two generations, or three even, to effect this takedown. Now, Brock Chisholm, he sums it up quite well the Luciferian that he was, and what their agenda is, but I'm going to tell you how it works in immigration. Brock Chisholm, director of the United Nations World Health Organization between 1948 and 1953. This rascal said, and I quote, "To achieve world government, it is necessary to remove from the minds of men their individualism, loyalty to family traditions, national patriotism, and religious dogmas," unquote. Now, all that must be removed at this point. They had to use it to foment wars. But now that's over, now they got to get rid of it. You understand how that works? Now, you'll find that in the SCP Journal, Tall Brook quotes Brock Chisholm, 1991. You can find it. I found it myself. You can find it too. Now, but Brock Chisholm goes further. I found another quote from that boy. You'll find this in Red Fog Over America, first edition, page 223. And Brock Chisholm. Actually, William G. Carr says this, and I gave you Brock Chisholm's actual quote about this immigration thing. You ready for this? Quote, Red Fog Over America, William G. Carr. Actually, I'm going to quote a little ahead of time. Hold on a second. Okay. Quote, "The Soviet leaders know that the heads of the Illuminati did not hesitate to start World Wars I and II. They know the Illuminati successfully placed the blame for starting both wars on the shoulders of the German people. But history does not support those charges. History proves they carried out their long-range plans from 1772 to 1952 like clockwork." Look up Albert Pike. Continuing quote. "Then why should they stop now and not try to put the final stages of their long-range plan into operation as scheduled?" Continuing. "What the public must never forget, and they must keep reminding their elected representatives," which are all Freemasons now, just about, "of the fact that the leaders of the communism or atheistic materialists and the leaders of the Illuminati believe that Satan is the all-powerful supernatural force." Continuing quote. "The Illuminati intend to use atheistic communism, Zionism, internationalism, and all other isms up to a certain point, but when nations have been merged into an international state," that's a one-world government, by the way, family, "the directors then intend to crown the head of the Illuminati king despot of the universe." Continuing quote. "After the nations have been merged into an international state, the directors then intend to crown the head of the Illuminati, king despot of the universe," it said again. Continuing, now here we get down to it. "The agentur of the Illuminati will next proceed to eradicate racial characteristics by mixing the black, red, yellow, and white races. This experiment has already been carried out on a large scale, and Dr. Brock Chisholm has advocated on the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation that, quote, by mixing the races, all racial problems would disappear," unquote. "And then the next step in this diabolical plan would be to render the masses docile and obedient to their masters. This is to be accomplished by mass medication. Experiments along these lines have been conducted extensively since the year 1900 AD, as was told previously. Fluoridation fits perfectly into this phase of the conspiracy, unquote. Right there, it tells you what's going on. This is dated 1955. This book is hard to come by, the original, because it's right on target. I'm going to continue. Well, actually, this goes right on into depopulation. I will continue the dialogue. Quote, begin. The increase in the world's population is to be strictly controlled on the excuse that the earth cannot feed the numbers which will result from unrestricted births, despite the fact that starvation and want are brought about by diabolical methods and control. Family, this goes back to the year 1900, printed 1955. This is old. And we're dealing with today. This is slam dunk. Continuing quote. The king despot, that's the Antichrist he's talking about here, will decide how many human beings are required to serve the state. His efficiency experts will advise him how many of each type of human being should be born. Selected males, picked for their mental or physical features, will father the human race by means of artificial insemination. This is 1955, family. Continuing, women who've been specially selected will be used as human incubators. Extensive experiments have already been carried out behind the Iron Curtain in this field of science for the past 37 years. Now take 1955 and subtract 37 and you got it. Continuing quote. After these steps in the diabolical conspiracy have been accomplished, it will be a simple matter to erase all knowledge of God from the human mind by scientific brainwashing systematically applied. The rule of Satan will take over instead of that of Christ the King. Continuing quote, all this evidence clearly indicates that it is not sufficient to kneel and pray in order to be saved. The scriptures indicate that we also must work. We have to work and to fight with every constitutional means at our disposal to defeat the devil's plans or extend it. Unquote. God's in control by prayer and fasting, going up against the Congress, causing them to have to do their job, to delay until God says, okay, you've done well, but now begins the tribulation period. Until that time, we work. And every means possible. And that don't mean some armed revolution. That's what they want to do, to justify martial law. People pretending to be patriots, like Rick Joyner and Jerem Boink and all these others, Wesley Clark, pretend patriots. They're not even remotely. They belong to secret societies. They do, in fact, belong to the Knights of Malta, Rhodes Scholarship, whatever, which are Illuminati. They lie to their own fellow Americans. Just the fact they belong to the secret societies is enough right there in itself. Boykin, for example, is a vice chancellor. And that goes back to Hitler's days. Continuing quote. The international conspirators, both communists and capitalists, should be tried for their crimes against humanity, exactly as the Nazi war criminals were tried, unquote. Now, what they didn't know then was that, apparently, was about Operation Paperclip. It's too late to do that now, because they control all the courts. This is 1955, where they had an opportunity, but they were subjugated back then. Nobody listens. All this is written about 50, 60, 70, 80, 100 years ago. John Robison wrote about this in 1798. He gave a copy of what was that called? I got a copy of the John Robison, 1798, Proofs of Conspiracy by John Robison. He passed a copy to George Washington in 1799, Reverend Snyder. Washington died that year. You see, family, this is what's really going on today. And everything else is right here. I mean, it's all written down. 1955 about the depopulation plan. In SSM 200 is a plan of depopulation by Kissinger and Haig. Jimmy Carter, another anti-Christian. He's not a Christian. He's a Luciferian. He's a globalist, Jimmy Carter. Global 2000 just continues on where NSSM leaves off. Global 2000, another depopulation murder plan. Family, Jesus is the only one you can trust on this earth. That's it. Now, I'm going to cover details. I'm just, I don't know, laying the groundwork as I go along. The family has been attacked. Now, you talk about immigration. I know, back to immigration. Well, look what Obama's doing to the world today. Look at the way he's doing to America. Bringing all the immigrants in and all this and all that, right? Blah, 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 blah. He's part of it, along with FDR, Nixon, Reagan, every doggone one of them. And I'm going to give you proof. Now, regular listeners, you're going to hear this again. Bear with me. New listeners, I'm going to give you a quote from FDR himself, his own words. And focus on the part about aliens, not aliens from space, but aliens from the countries. This quote I'm going to read you was given verbally by FDR March 4th, 1939, 2 years before Pearl Harbor was planned. I mean, 2 years before Pearl Harbor was executed. Pearl Harbor planned by FDR, Churchill, a cousin of his, and the Japanese elite at the highest level planned Pearl Harbor in the 1920s. You got that? And then President Roosevelt, also working with the elite, they had planned a military coup in 1933. General Smedley D. Butler was a part of that. But General Smedley Butler, Marine Corps, fooled him when he blew the whistle to Congress. Of course, General Butler didn't know that FDR was a part of it. Call, look it up, Plot to Seize the White House by Jules Archer. These are all slam dunk facts. Now, I'm going to read you a quote by FDR in March 4th, 1939, 6 years after the planned military coup that failed because he blew the whistle to Congress. General Butler did, 1934. And 2 years before Pearl Harbor was even to happen. Here's what FDR said behind closed doors. In front of three congressional committees. And one of the witnesses was a congressman named Senator Lundeen, L-U-N-D-E-E-N, was a member of one of these committees. He wrote the quote down and gave it to William G. Carr to put in his book, Red Fog Over America. On my website, watchmanforjesus.com, I have this quote written there on the timeline that you can read yourself. All you do is go to my timeline. There and look up March 4th, 1939, and you'll read it. Here's what the quote FDR behind closed doors. It was never to be released to the public. Here's what FDR said. I quote, the three congressional committees. He said, I am making no concessions to business or for relief. I have a military machine sufficient to stop any organized revolt. I am putting my people ahead of all instruments. I'll have had a full understanding with Chamberlain, and we will destroy this unemployed condition with a war, and a war only. To hell with American people, as far as a democracy is concerned. It does not exist, it never did, and we will never let it happen that way. Here we go. I am going to crush business, infest America with all the aliens possible, and in the last analysis, declare martial law and confiscate everything I need for a true and forceful dictatorship. My New Deal is a failure, and I know it. But no one else will tell me that I must discontinue my present activities and program, unquote, FDR. And this was said in front of the secret audience with the Military Appropriation Committee, the Ways and Means Committee, and the Special War Finance Committee, behind closed doors. And actually, Clinton Roosevelt, one century before this quote, Clinton Roosevelt, a cousin of FDR, part of the Illuminati, Freemasons, he published in America in 1841 a document called The Science of Government Founded on Natural Laws. The Science of Government Founded on Natural Laws. And that was nothing more than a plagiarized version of the teachings of Professor Adam Weishaupt of Frankfurt University in Germany. He was a Jesuit. Ding, 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 ding. You got it? This renegade, they call him renegade Jesuit priest. That's to just show you plausible deniability. He arranged for the agent tour of the Illuminati to infiltrate into French Freemasonry in 1776. So the secret power, which directed the world revolutionary movement and the plan, the conspiracy of Satan is what it was and what it is. And they would use Freemasonry to further their secret plans and ambitions, and then at the same time cloak the diabolical purposes. So this ensured the conspiracy that started, remember I said a little while ago, 1772 to 1952. This plan furthered that plan from 1841 to 1945. So from 1772 to 1841, and then here comes that plan by Clinton Roosevelt, Manzini, and Albert Pike, and Karl Marx, who just plagiarized Roosevelt's document. That's all that happened. So Adam Weishaupt wrote the document from 1772 to 1776, May the 1st. Finished it. That set the plans. That led to 1841. 1841, Clinton Roosevelt plagiarized it. Called it Science of Government, Founded on Natural Laws, 1841. Through Manzini, an Italian, not Jew, Italian Illuminati, mafia inventor. To Karl Marx, to write, and him and Engel, 1848, called the Communist Manifesto. Isn't that a hoot? And that lasts to 1945, 1952. And that's about the time the Bilderberg Group was organized by the Rockefellers. Ho-ho! How about that, huh? For the long-range plans. Skippity-doo-dah. This is all documented. Now y'all understand what's really going on? When are people going to wake up, Joint Chief of Staff? When are you going to come out of your fog that your secret societies will fail? And they're going to kill you. They're going to kill every secret society member once they have total control. You will die. Quote, as if by some illness. and they'll never know the death sentence has been pronounced upon them, unquote. Their lectures between 1873 and 1901. They confirm they will kill every secret society member. You will die. And now they have the ability to do that by the diseases. Depopulation? Oh, yeah. The Masons are promised they're going to be given positions of authority and power and godhood or whatever. But that's only to hook them, crook them. Family, this is all connected. Immigration. So immigration fits right into it. Immigration, one tiny bit of it. You see. So when you blame Obama, and rightfully so, he's just following through with what he's ordered to do. Him and Putin and Netanyahu, shoot, they all work together. Family, they work together. Behind closed doors, pretending to be apart. You're saying, well, we're going to war with Russia. Oh, yeah. And Russia is going to sweep down into Israel. Oh, yeah. Well, how come they're allowing Russian Spetsnaz in our bases today in the United States? Why are they allowing China sovereign territory in the foreign trade zones? 288 of them. I've got one here in Mount Airy, North Carolina, that belongs to China. So, wait a minute here. Ron Paul's not saying a word about it, is he? No, Rand Paul neither, right? No, because they're paid off Rosicrucians just like all the rest of them are. Lying to the American people. Pretending to be patriots. Not at all. It's all a facade and a game, and man, they're going to hell if they don't straighten out and start whistleblowing. Repenting. They're all working for secret societies. Family, listen. This is what's going on. Wizard of Oz? Oh, yeah, behind the curtain? Oh, on steroids it is. All I'm telling you right today is documented. Fact. You see, I'm not giving you speculation or opinions. I'm giving you dates, times, people, names, places you can look up. And they keep us all busy with all this other nonsense, golf and games and World Cups and all this stuff. Everybody's glued to it. That's how they want you. And it's working perfectly. Immigration. So immigration plays in this perfectly. Just as I explained from the year 1400 till now, of making the North American continent a cultural diverse New Atlantis. Bringing all the cultures together, DNA-wise. Eliminating all the others in World War yet to come. God divided us. Satan's bringing us back together. And by bringing us back together, you create chaos. Makes us want order. And we'll accept it. Now, I'm going to give you evidence. Best place to start would be the news today, wouldn't it? All right. You've got, Rick Warren. Rick Warren, Chrislam, becomes one of the fastest growing religions in America. Chrislam, Islam. And Christianity together, really. You got Berlin to build the very first temple of Chrislam for one world religion. Historic first ever Islamic prayers at the Vatican signals the start of a one world religion. All these are articles. You got Satan's statue should be welcomed in Oklahoma, unquote. Illegal immigrants hopping on the death train of the United States, hoping for amnesty. Now you understand why immigration is not just Obama. Man, this goes back to FDR. It goes back to Woodrow Wilson. It goes back to the year 1425. And now they're really putting it together. If you look up in, what is it called? National Geographic. Write it down. Look it up. October 2013. National Geographic. The title of the article is Changing Face of America. They have succeeded in the DNA conglomeration of a culture. They've done it. They'll protect that culture and to wipe out and kill all others, just as I told you they're going to do. With disease. With war. And then we'll emerge, according to them, they will fail, but will emerge their multi-cultural human being, microchipped as well. And that will not include any secret society members, let me tell you. So they must create chaos to bring order. They think that they're protected in the deep underground military bases. But what they don't know is when they open up this portal, all hell will break loose on underground bases. There will be no one to survive in the deep underground military bases. They will all be massacred down there. They don't realize this yet. They will find out later. It will happen. Tribulations are coming. So you have to ask yourself, whose side are you on? Jesus or Satan? This is really what's going on today. But back to the news. There's another part of this the genocide of South American leaders who oppose a bankster. They're blaming on the bankers too. Are you telling me the bankers set this up in the year 1425? You tell me the bankers set up World War I and II and all? No. The bankers are the fall guys, just like the Nuremberg trials. It's all fall guys. Are the bankers part of it? Yeah. But they're controlled by the Jesuits. The Jesuits are controlled by the Illuminati, the Italian-German Illuminati. Orsini is the great pope. He's controlled by the hierarchy, the Illuminati families. They make it complicated to discourage people from studying it. I don't get discouraged. I'm stubborn. Bill Gates, depopulate the world by 1 billion. You know, there was back about 10 years ago, there's a meeting of seven people to discuss depopulation. Oh, well, let's call it what it is, wholesale murder. After a Bilderberg meeting, I talked about this a couple days ago in part one. And those that met to discuss specifically about America, the meeting was in New York. And the London Times identified the seven participants were Bill Gates, David Rockefeller, Ted Turner, Oprah Winfrey, Warren Buffett, George Soros. I know I messed that up, didn't I? On purpose. And Michael Bloomberg. Michael Bloomers. They met to discuss how they're going to wholesale murder, how they're going to depopulate. You know, their worth on the Forbes list of billionaires is on that one room was a net worth of $120 billion. And the meeting was held at the home of Paul Nursey in around early May of sometime in the 1990s. He's a Nobel Prize winning, Nobel was Illuminati, Nobel Prize winning biochemist. Hint, hint. Bill Gates called the meeting. He's the one pushing the murderous vaccinations. The London Times reported the, quote, informal session, afternoon session, was so discreet that some of their billionaires' aides were told they were at security briefings, unquote. And that meeting followed another one weeks earlier in Greece called the Bilderberg Group. So the Bilderberg told them what they were going to do. They met to discuss what they're going to do to Americans and depopulation and vaccinations. Each one of the participants had 15 minutes to present their favorite cause. And number one issue was population control. And Bill Gates outlined a plan that would cap the world population at 8.3 billion. As if they, we mean cap it, that means kill all the rest. But we know already that's supposed to reduce down to 500 million by the Rosicrucians to be able to handle it all. This is what's really going on in the background. Now, so immigration plays heavy into this of reducing national sovereignty. They created national sovereignty. Now they're going to reduce national sovereignty. How? By bringing aliens in. That's part of the plan. I mean, after all, the white folk are aliens too. Who is indigenous? The Indians and the Mexicans. They were indigenous to this place. They lived here before we did. Now we're here, yeah. So the Chinese, they're here. We're all here. Whether you like it or not, you're here. It's your home. You're born here. But the plan goes back hundreds of years. And each generation of Illuminati plans the next generation. And this is how they've been doing it, leapfrogging all along. You know how far back this really goes? You're not going to like this, but I'm going to tell you anyway. If you're new listeners, I want to tell you. This is Watchmen for Jesus 105. This plan goes back to Nimrod. Carried on through the generations. Until today. That's what ISIS is all about. Ishtar. Stand by 1 second. I have to make a switch over. It snuck up on me here. Bear with me 1 second, please, family. Okay, we're back on. Now, I have been recording this, and I've been covering a whole lot of information, to say the least. So you can go back and pass this around, whatever. I'm not done. I got another 40 minutes to go at all. I'm just, and as a matter of fact, I'm running out of time. I got more to cover. But family, go over what I've said for your own. You know that they were going to try to do this mass vaccination under a false pretense in 2009. Obama was going to do it. Obama's no better than FDR or Reagan or Nixon. Nixon was going to plan a military coup just like FDR 1972, 1974. Reagan was going to plan one in the 1980s. None of them any better than the other. They're all evil. I'm sorry if you're, you know, your favorite president is what. Reagan was one of my favorite presidents till I found out the truth. He's a liar. Just like Reagan. Just like, well, that was Reagan. Nixon. FDR. Truman. The whole lot of them. With evidence. Some of them by their own words. Now, how to reduce the population growth in the United States? Answer was mass vaccinations to cure a fictitious pandemic. Article came out in 2009. 1,000 people died from the flu. They had planned to have a mass vaccination plan. It failed to take place. led a fictitious swine flu pandemic in the fall of 2009. And they had to secure it because people wasn't ready for it. And they had in the vaccinations small amounts of bird guano, a substance known to cause serious illnesses and death in several lab tests. It killed the lab animals. And that was going to be injected. That would start the pandemic. And there's even a particular scientist that had suggested that most of the soldiers who died in the Middle East conflict died from these vaccinations, not from being shot. Nobody's talking about it. People died because they were vaccinated. See, all this is connected. Now, immigration plays right into this plan. Are they vaccinating the Mexicans as they bring them up, the kids, the children? If they're vaccinating them, get them shots and send them up here, will they claim that they have diseases, and then they'll get diseases that are here already and take them back to Mexico? It'll be an interchange and swap of disease on both sides. Therefore, we'll justify mass vaccinations in your schools because there'll be a pandemic, whether it's false or real or otherwise. And then you'll say, I heard about vaccinations. I don't want my kid vaccinated. You'll leave work and you'll go to the school to take your kid out of there and say, you will not vaccinate my kid, but you'll not be able to do that because they'll have police there to keep you from it. Now you know the reason for the police at the schools and why Sandy Hook was a false flag. The police and the security there that they're going to place is not there to protect the school from shooters. It's there to protect the school from the really angry parents that want the kids out of there so they won't get mass vaccinated. If they refuse to be vaccinated, they're put on buses taking the FEMA camps. Y'all see what's coming? It's what these boys have got planned. There, buddy. And people don't realize this. So this bringing in of the immigrants is not an Obama idea. He's just promulgating it. He's the fall guy. He's for it. There's no doubt about that. But so was FDR and everybody in between. Now you see, they all are in on it. If there's a pandemic, it'll probably start in the Southwest. Then there'll be one from Cuba to Florida to the Bible Belt. And you know, different cultures have indigenous diseases to swap them off. So this so-called pandemic or epidemic would justify vaccinations and a panic. But the vaccinations would start the real pandemic as they planned in the year 2009. That failed to take place. But you know, and all this that they're doing and all this I've thrown at you today, I've just really is only scratching the surface. Is for naught, because Jesus Christ is coming back. It is about the supernatural. Mankind could not figure all this out. It comes from supernatural origin. Today, you're crazy if you have loved the name of Jesus more than everybody else. Why? Because you're associated with the killers in Norway. Remember that guy that killed all those people in Norway? He was considered to be a militia guy, kind of a Christian or whatever. The MK Ultra subjects who are family members because they're removing demons from them. That's crazy guy. Yeah. You're associated with Westboro Baptist Church, who are Illuminati. Hebrew Roots Movement. The Yeshua crowd. Yahweh, Yeshua. You're associated with Westboro type people, and that's what they're for. The Kundalini spirit and the holy rollers in certain of these churches, you're associated with them. The Jesus camps. Oh, man. CIA, one side up, down the other. Jesus camps to brainwash children. The lukewarm preaching that's going on in churches today has become the norm. So if you really love Jesus Christ, man, you're crazy. If you really know about how to deliver people from demons, by praying over them, by fasting, man, you're nuts. Because that's how you're associated. They even took a verse out of the Bibles, Matthew 17:21. So you would not know that the only way to defeat the demonic realm and deliverance is by prayer and fasting. They've taken that out of the Bibles except for the King James. That's the purpose. They forget that there was a John the Baptist and Jeremiah leading the way. All were God's prophets, real prophets, not the fake one like Nostradamus and Edward Casey and Jane Dixon and all these other fakes. Was given inspiration by Satan. The real prophecy has already been written in the King James Bible. Joel. You know the book, I did a Bible study on Joel a couple nights ago. In the book of Joel, way before John of Patmos, who wrote the book of Revelation, the book of Joel, you will find closely is associated with book of Revelation. Now, John of Patmos never knew Joel. And long before John the Baptist, John of Patmos was born, even. And so the prophecy of Joel matches John of Patmos' revelation from Jesus Christ when he is in prison. In the New Testament, Joel is the Old Testament. How'd that happen? Because they were both inspired by God. The book of Joel is not about America. That's ridiculous. It's about Israel. And the end times events, that's not happened yet. Joel, the book of Joel. Yeah. Isn't that something? That's what I got out of it when I did my study. I said, wow, that's amazing. Family, study your Bible. Study what's really going on. And you see it today in the news. Now, I found, for example, currently, the UK is getting more religious, says Schama, S-C-H-A-M-A. Historian says religion is becoming part of the mainstream life again. Religion. Oh, okay. Religion is. Well, what are we talking about here? Chrislam. Religion has become part of a mainstream life. Well, at the same time, June the 20th, that's 5 days ago, the UN warns Britain over child voodoo rituals and pedophile sex tourists. Something kind of counter there, isn't there? Voodoo and all that sort of thing going on. And then there's an article about North Carolina. North Carolina students can now pray at school, mention God and assignments. There's a war going on in North Carolina, a religious war. So now North Carolina students can pray at school, mention God in their assignments. But at the same time, May the 16th, same-sex marriage is an issue in North Carolina elections. So you got a war going on here in North Carolina. The North Carolina's new gay marriage lawsuit could turn everything on its head by the United Church of Christ. United Church of Christ. Billy Graham says that you don't have to know the name of Jesus. He says it now. He's changed. Oprah says you don't have to know the name of Jesus on some of her shows. I got the actual words. Well, watch this. In line with that, there's another one that's pushing it really, really hard about bringing the religions together. Just like the first seal says, and the Jews will start their sacrifices. You see, all of it's coming together. Now, I'm going to give you a quote here to show you how they're influencing and who they're coming by. Watch this.
Church or one faith over another, it is about the eternal principles of God. Go to your churches, your synagogues,
hold on a minute,
your mosque, anyone that
let's
is
start
not
all over. Let's start all over. Here we go.
This isn't about one church or one faith over another. It is about the eternal principles of God. Go to your churches, your synagogues, your mosque, anyone that is not preaching hate and division, anyone that is not teaching to kill another man. But you go to those that are teaching the lasting principles. These 240 men and women from all faith represent thousands of clergy that we couldn't fit into this area that are amongst you now. Thousands that have come here to the mall to stand with America and God. We can disagree on so much. These men and women here don't agree on fundamentals. They don't agree on everything that every church teaches. What they do agree on is God is the answer.
Ooh-wee. Is that in the Bible? No. Jesus Christ is the only way. You see how they're using peace now, just like the Bible says in the first seal. And they're doing it at the highest level of government, mainstream news. Family, get ready. Buckle up. Because it's coming. The first seal is right down the road. It's coming along. And they're all coming on board. Chris Lom. Rick Warren. In Germany, Chris Lom has a temple. Fam, we're getting really close, I'd say. How about this one? Let's see what happens here. This might be a voice you've heard before. See, we're being duped by the nationalism and lust for political power. Rush Limbaugh's, a bunch of others, family, they're being used as pawns. Do they know it? I don't know. But what's coming out of the mouth isn't right. The King James Bible tells us what to do. It's pretty straight. So here comes another testimony, we'll call it.
Let me ask some questions about faith, which is a tough subject to talk about. You have called at times this battle against terrorism a crusade.
I said it once and probably shouldn't have used that word.
Do you think God is involved in this conflict?
I don't think this is a religious war. I think this is a war between evil people that are willing to kill on a mass scale, people that would like to end up with weapons of mass destruction and even kill more than they did in New York City and
But you've used
Washington
a phrase
City.
That interests me, which is you said, freedom is a gift of the Almighty.
It is.
And if you're the agent of freedom, or consider yourself so in this, does that indicate in your mind that the Almighty is on our side in some way?
Charlie, I think that you shouldn't try to read too much into what I'm saying. What I'm saying is a truth. And the truth is, people yearn to be free, no matter who they are or what their religion is. Freedom is ingrained in people's souls. Freedom was not placed there by the United States. It was, in my judgment, it was placed there by something greater, the Almighty.
Do we all worship the same God, Christian and Muslim? Do we all worship the same God, Christian and Muslim?
I think we do.
Oops.
Do we all worship the same God, Christian and Muslim?
I think we do. I think we do. I think we do.
But what about those?
Now, here goes another one.
The others that you mentioned.
How about this one?
Believe in Christ. They believe they will meet Christ. What about those like the Jews, the Muslims, who don't believe as you believe?
That's in God's hands. I can't be the judge.
You don't judge them?
No. No,
how do you feel
you're
when
going to hell and you're, oh, I don't.
How do you feel when you see a lot of these strong Christian leaders go on television and say, you are condemned, you will live in hell if you do not accept Jesus Christ? And they are forceful and judgmental.
Well, they have a right to say that, and they are true to a certain extent, but that's not my calling. My calling is to preach the love of God and the forgiveness of God. And the fact that he does forgive us. That's what the cross is all about, what the resurrection is all about. That's the gospel. And you can get off on all kinds of different side trails. And in my earlier ministry, I did the same. But as I got older, I guess I became more mellow and more forgiving and more loving. And the Jerry Falwells and people like that, I love them. I thank God for their ministry. He has a great university. And two of three of my grandchildren have gone there. And they have had a tremendous change in their lives for being there. And some of the other people are the same way, that on the other end of the extreme. Reinhold Niebuhr here in New York years ago preached against me or spoke against me. I loved him with all my heart. I went to see him. And all these people.
Okay, here we go. One more.
Tell me, what do you think is the future of Christianity?
I think everybody that loves Christ or knows Christ, whether they're conscious of it or not, they're members of the body of Christ. And that's what God is doing today. He's calling people out of the world for his name, whether they come from the Muslim world or the Buddhist world or the Christian world or the non-believing world. They are members of the body of Christ because they've been called by God. They may not even know the name of Jesus, but they know in their heart that they need something that they don't have, and they turn to the only light that they have, and I think that they are saved and that they're going to be with us in heaven.
This is fantastic. I'm so thrilled to hear you say that. There's a wideness in God's mercy.
There is. There definitely is.
Wow. You see a continuation of what's going on here? That the setup all along? How about this one?
A panel has been discussing the spirituality and the forces of God, but I also believe that there are two forces that are here with us, that we do have our God that we can depend on, but there's also a power of darkness that we do need to be aware of. And that's where the choice is.
Do you believe that you can choose between one or the other?
Most absolute definitely.
Yeah. Now Marianne Williamson says in her book, Return to Love, that we're always walking in the direction of one or the other, that all of your actions in life, either you're moving toward the darkness or you're moving toward the light.
That's right.
She calls it fear and love. There's this wonderful book called Ishmael by Daniel Quinn, which is, it's a gorilla talking, but anyway. It talks about, one of the points it brings out is one of the mistakes that human beings make is believing that there is only one way to live.
That's
and
right.
That we don't accept that there are diverse ways of being in the world, that there are millions of ways to be
then
a human being.
How do you
being,
please God?
And many ways, no, but many paths
many
to what you call God.
That
and
is
her
pleasing.
Path might be something else, and when she gets there, she might call it the light. But her loving and her kindness and her generosity brings her, if it brings her to the same point that it brings you, it doesn't matter whether she called it God along the way or not.
And I guess the danger that could be in that, I mean, it sounds great on the onset, but if you really look at both sides, I
there couldn't possibly be just one way. What about Jesus? What about Jesus?
There is one way, and only one way, and that is through Jesus.
There couldn't possibly be,
because you say there isn't.
There couldn't possibly be.
Because you say, you intellectualize it and say there isn't. If you don't believe that, you're all buying into the lie.
But that makes you right. Do you think that if you are somewhere on the planet, if you're somewhere on the planet and you never hear the name of Jesus, you never hear the name of Jesus, but yet you live with a loving heart, you lived as Jesus would have had you to live, you lived for the same purpose that Jesus came to the planet to teach us all, but you are in some remote part of the earth and you never heard the name of Jesus, you cannot get to heaven, you think?
And that is covered in the scriptures, too. People are talked about
truly,
that.
God knows the heart.
Does God care about your heart, or God care about if you call his son Jesus?
Well, you know, Oprah, God, Jesus cannot come back until that gospel is preached in the four corners of this earth. So, you know, figure it out.
Okay. I can't get into a religious argument with you.
It's not religious.
Have you heard?
Now, what is the real answer? Well, let's hear the real answer coming from Billy Graham himself. He's a 33rd degree Mason, as is Robert Schuller, but going back to 1949, 1950, 60, 1970, and 80, let's hear what the answer was then.
The Bible says there is none other name under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. There is no other way except by the way of that cross. I want to tell you something. If there had been another way of salvation, Jesus would have never died on the cross. On the night that he was betrayed, the night before he died, he knelt in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he said, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. What was he praying? He was saying, oh God, if it is possible to save Billy Graham, if it is possible to save Bill and Jim and Susie and the human race, if it is possible, any other way, if they can work their way to heaven, if they can buy their way to heaven, if there's any other way, oh God, spare me the cross tomorrow. But the answer, as it were, came back from heaven. There is no other way. Man cannot be saved by bread alone. Man cannot be saved by earning his way, by working his way. For by grace are ye saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. There is only one way that men can get to heaven, one road. Jesus said it was a narrow road. He said the gate was narrow. And it's the cross, and I must come to his cross. That's the reason that one-third of Matthew, one-third of Mark, that's the reason that one half of John is given over to the death of Jesus Christ in Hayes' Life of Lincoln. There are 5,000 pages, and Lincoln was dramatically assassinated, but there are only 25 pages given to his death. Yet in the biographies of Jesus Christ, from a third to a half are given to his death. Why? Because it's the only way to heaven. It is the only way to get forgiveness of sin. And if you haven't come by faith to the foot of that cross renouncing your sins, I don't care who you are, what you are, you'll never be in heaven. You might be a member of some church. You might live a good, decent life. And all of that is fine. But your sins are not forgiven, and you're not going to heaven unless you've come by the way of that cross. Have you come by the way of that cross yet? The only...
There is the answer. So what happened? What happened now? Would it be because now is the time for them to come out for the New Age, the Chrislam, the Humanist Manifesto, and all this now is the time to change over the laws to allow same-sex marriage? How come people aren't preaching against that? About abortion, about the Child Euthanasia Act up in Oregon that they're going to pass, that children under the age of 18 can go ahead and elect to kill themselves, and the parents can't stop them. The parents can't stop them. How come Rand Paul, Ron Paul, all the other Pauls of any kind of type, Romney and all the rest of them that claim to be Christians and Huckabee and all the, how come they're not blasting that act in Oregon? Why aren't they saying something about the Chinese that owns property in America? How come they're not saying something about these things? Could it be because they're part of it as well? Isn't that curious? I'm sure they know about it. I mean, if I know about it, I mean, anybody knows about it, right? I'm just an old fella here that does a little research here and there. I'm not a big shot. I'm a little old guy here, down here in North Carolina. So if I know about this, how come they don't? Yeah, I'm not under a blood oath neither, and I will never be. How far back does this go, Nimrod? How about depopulation, immigration, all these things? These are all tools. Often quoted passage reflects significance that Darwin afforded Malthus in his theory of natural selection. Charles Darwin, an avatar of the fallen angels with this lie about evolution, he said, and I quote, in October 1838, that is 15 months after I, Charles Darwin speaking, of course, had begun my systematic inquiry, I happened to read for amusement Malthus on population, and being well prepared to appreciate the struggle for existence from everywhere goes on from long continued observation of the habits of animals and plants. It at once struck me that under these circumstances, favorable variations would tend to be preserved and unfavorable ones to be destroyed. The results of this would be the formation of a new species. Here then, I had at last a theory by which to work. So this passage talks about the significance that Darwin afforded Malthus in formulating this theory, you see, of natural selection. And what struck Darwin in his essay on the principle of population in 1798 was Malthus' observation that in nature, plants and animals produced more offspring than can survive. And that man, too, is capable of overproducing if left unchecked. You see, Malthus thought famine and poverty were natural outcomes. But we know now that famine and poverty is being produced, orchestrated, and planned. Malthus concluded that unless family size was regulated, man's misery of famine would become globally epidemic and eventually consume man. This is 1790s. Malthus' view that poverty and famine were natural outcomes of population growth and food supply was not popular among social reformers, and they believed that with proper social structures, all ills of man could be eradicated. You know, he believed that these natural outcomes, which we know now are not natural, they're produced under the population depopulation. Kissinger and Haig, now you got it? This was God's way of preventing man from becoming lazy. Both Darwin and Wallace independently arrived at the similar theories of natural selection after reading Malthus. The Malthusian theory. Malthus was a political economist, who was concerned about what he saw in the decline of living conditions in 19th century England. And what he did was he blamed the decline on three elements: the overproduction of young, the inability of resources to keep up with the rising human population, and the irresponsibility of the lower classes. Now, to combat this, Malthus suggested the family size of the lower class ought to be regulated such that poor families do not produce more children than they can support. Oh, does that sound a little familiar to us? What did they do? An illusion was presented. An illusion that would be so large or so vast it will escape the perception of the human being. Those who will see it will thought of as insane. Those who talk about it will be thought of as insane. They'll create separate fronts to prevent people from seeing the connection between them. They'll behave as if they're not connected to keep the illusion alive. And the goal will be accomplished one drop at a time so as never to bring suspicion upon themselves. They'll always stand above the relative field of their experience. They'll always work together, remain bound by blood, DNA, and secrecy. Death will come to those who speak. They plan to keep the lifespan of humans short, minds weak while pretending to do the opposite. They use knowledge of science and technology in subtle ways so they'll never see what's happening. They use soft metals, aging accelerators and sedatives in food and water, also in the air. They'll be blanketed by poisons everywhere they turn. Soft metals will cause them to lose their minds. They'll promise to find a cure from many fronts and yet feed them more poison. This is exactly what's going on today. This is a blood covenant that they've made. The poisons will be absorbed through the skin and the mouths, and they will destroy the minds and reproductive systems. We know that to be true from HPV vaccination. HPV vaccination is used to, in fact, sterilize your children. It's resulted in tens of thousands of permanent conditions, whereas France, India, and Japan have ceased the operations of using HPV vaccination, but America is not. Where's Rand Paul, Ron Paul, and all the others about stopping this vaccination? They're very silent, are they not? The poison will be hidden in everything that surrounds them, in what they drink, eat, breathe, and wear. They'll teach them the poisons are good. Fun images and musical tones. Do you remember back in the 70s and 80s, they had this called a dart or something? Is this like 7-inch dart that you throw up in the air, it'd go up, arc, and come down in a circle? You have no idea how many injuries, thousands of injuries that thing caused. And finally, one father got together a lobby group and got rid of that toy after his daughter was killed by it. Is that what it takes? What's it going to take to get people to wake up? Oh, I'm only getting wound up. I got plenty more to talk about tomorrow. More detail. Today, I think I pretty much gave you some detail. I want y'all to know that we're played, our broadcaster played by John Kirkler, H-E-R-K-A-L-E-R, at highpointradio.net. He plays us on his broadcast, his network, in Pennsylvania, New York, and New Jersey. On a random basis, he plays our broadcasts. And I have my website, watchmenforjesus.com, and I've got some studies on there. And I also have a Facebook called Watchmen for Jesus. And you're welcome to join both. And I only have a few studies on my website, but there's enough there to keep you busy for a long time. And do your own study. Do your own research. But family, this is what's really going on today. It's nothing what the news is saying at all. Now, this is only Wednesday, so I will be talking about this lie about World War III coming up and what Hagee's talking about and all these others. Family, I'm going to lay it wrong on that Carl Gallup and we're in the sixth trumpet. No, we're not. Family, there's so much garbage going on out there from the highest level, it's not even funny. And they're lying about a position in the tribulations. We're not even there yet. Oh, we're close, though. Oh, we're close. Very close. But family, you got to know the enemy before you fight the enemy. Tonight, Bible study, 7:30 to 9. hit the ground running again at 7:30. Family, you win through Jesus. There's nothing wrong with being obsessed with Jesus. Everybody's obsessed with everything else. What's wrong with being obsessed with Jesus to guide you? I don't understand it. Families will be separated. Matthew 5, 33, 37. It will happen. I'm on the side of Jesus. That's non-negotiable. And that's where it stops. Not patriotism, none of that stuff. It is about Jesus Christ of Nazareth, because there will not be any country when he comes back. It'll be those that accept him and those reject him. End of story. But there's a tribulation coming. There's an extraterrestrial lie and hoax that's going to happen before then, causing the falling away. I'll talk about that this week. We'll talk more about depopulation tomorrow in more detail. And breaking news. So, y'all have a great evening. And know that you win through Jesus Christ and him alone, nobody else. The King James Bible, the only true word of God you got. Out of 1 trillion books, that book stands alone. And that's a fact. No one can prove otherwise from any position. That should count for something. Y'all have a good night tonight. And join me tonight if you'd like, 7:30 to 9, or tomorrow at 4 to 6. Same time, same station. Go to TalkStream Live when you get a chance, twice an hour, once 1 hour and the second hour, go to TalkStream Live, click that green bar, TalkStreamLive.com, and you can hear me there also. And appreciate y'all's attention today, and we'll see y'all tomorrow, or tonight if you want to join my Bible study at 7:30. So God bless. Good night. And this is the Watchman signing off.
Guilt and my confusion disappear in sweet relief. And every fear I'd ever had.